Welcome to Primo Medico Expert Physicians Talk, health explained in an understandable way. In this podcast channel, we talk about selected medical topics in collaboration with leading medical specialists. The following content comes directly from the respective specialist and is presented by a digitally recorded voice, expertly scrutinized, clearly explained. Primo Medico, health to listen to. Today we are talking about a topic that affects millions of women and is often diagnosed much too late: endometriosis and fertility. Around 10% of all women of childbearing age suffer from endometriosis, and among women struggling with infertility, it is as high as 50%. Many do not know for a long time that this disease is behind pain, cycle problems, or infertility. Today, we are talking about it with Dr. Julia Tumers, an endometriosis specialist and senior physician at Heilig Geist Hospital in Cologne. It's great to have you here, Dr. Tumers.
Thank you for the invitation to this conversation.
Dr. Tumers, what exactly is endometriosis?
The word endometriosis already contains the word endometrium, which is the technical term for the uterine lining. This means that cells similar to the uterine lining occur elsewhere in the body. This is primarily in the abdominal cavity on the peritoneum, which lines the organs from the outside, and from there it can penetrate deeper into organs or also affect the ovaries, where it then leads to endometriosis cysts. A special feature of endometriosis occurs in the uterine muscle. It is then called adenomyosis and causes severe bleeding disorders. These endometrium-like cells swell cyclically and can also bleed. This results in severe pain and bleeding disorders. At the same time, the disease causes adhesions in the abdomen, which in turn can cause pain or restrict the mobility of the organs among each other.
Who can actually get endometriosis? Every woman?
Simply put, one could say that all women of childbearing age can develop endometriosis. More precisely, one would say all women who have or can have their period.
So it can now start at a very young age, even in children, at 9 or 10 years old, and go beyond the 50-year-old patient. The typical endometriosis patient is around 30, and it can also run in families.
That means if my mother already had severe pain during her period, it can be assumed that my risk of also having endometriosis is relatively high.
Dr. Tumers, is it genetic? Or can anyone just get it from hormones? Or how does it even happen?
There are many different reasons for this, although the exact development of endometriosis is not yet clear. It is assumed that there are genetic clusters, which is why it often runs in families, but environmental factors certainly play a role as well. We tend to have our first children later in life as women, which means we experience more cycles in our lives where we are not pregnant. And every cycle increases the risk of developing endometriosis. It is assumed that, for example, blood does not only flow out vaginally, but also goes back through the fallopian tubes into the abdominal cavity. And that is where these cells can settle and promote endometriosis.
Why can endometriosis make getting pregnant more difficult?
You can divide this into three areas. For one, there are supposedly trivial reasons. Women with endometriosis often experience pain during ovulation or during sexual intercourse. This means the process of getting pregnant itself has already become more difficult. In addition, there is often a loss of libido or pronounced fatigue, meaning a weakness and tiredness, which can certainly also make life as a couple more difficult. Furthermore, I just mentioned that endometriosis can cause adhesions. If this affects the fallopian tubes and ovaries, the eggs cannot be released into the abdominal cavity, which makes fertilization by sperm much more difficult. Beyond the obvious reasons, there are also biochemical effects. Endometriosis causes chronic inflammation. This restricts the mobility of the fallopian tubes, and there are inflammatory cells in the peritoneal fluid located between the organs. These inflammatory cells can damage egg cells and sperm, making fertilization less likely.
Furthermore, there are hormone receptor disturbances which can lead to cycle changes. The uterine lining itself is also affected by the hormonal shift, which can make it more difficult for embryos to implant and survive.
And how do women notice that something is wrong, that they might have it?
A clear sign of endometriosis is severe pain during your period. This is not normal, as we were often told in the past. In particular, pain that starts before menstruation, perhaps a few days before or even during ovulation, can be an indication of endometriosis.
Additionally, there are characteristics like pain during intercourse, during bowel movements, or while urinating, which can also be warning signs for endometriosis. Also, an unfulfilled desire to have children that last longer than 1 year can be an indication of endometriosis, even if there is perhaps no pain at all.
So, one should definitely get checked out if one wants to have children. And pregnancy just doesn't happen, right?
Yes, anyone who is not pregnant after 1 year, despite regular intercourse around ovulation and a normal partner checkup, should be examined, preferably by someone who is an expert in this field.
What diagnostics are standard for you today? So how do you proceed to find that out?
For one thing, it always takes at least two people when trying to conceive. That means the sperm analysis itself is important to start with. If there are any abnormalities here, a fertility clinic, for example, gets involved much sooner. Otherwise, the next step for the patient is the local gynecological practice, where initial basic diagnostics are performed. If endometriosis is a possibility, then the patients come to us, for example, at our specialized endometriosis center. Here, we try to find out during the consultation whether there are certain signs that point to endometriosis. This is followed by a clinical examination, meaning I perform a palpation, check to see if I can see or feel any endometriosis lesions, and press on specific points that are typically painful for endometriosis patients. During the examination, there are various pressure points. For example, the ligaments of the uterus are relatively often affected and should normally feel a bit of pressure when touched, but not be painful. We also palpate the pelvic floor muscles because they are often very tense due to the chronic pain the patient herself experiences. And then I check, are the patients even able to relax, or is it a state of constant tension as an indirect sign of endometriosis? Following the physical examination, we then perform a detailed endometriosis ultrasound. We do not just examine the organs themselves, although we look at those too, but primarily the spaces between the organs, for example, between the vagina and the bowel, to see if deeper endometriosis nodules are hiding there. Very rarely, an MRI can also be useful. However, we only do this at our center when planning major surgeries, for instance, when collaborating with surgeons to clarify the extent of endometriosis for everyone.
How is endometriosis treated? Surgically or more hormonally?
It is not an either-or situation, but rather intended to be complementary. Basically, the primary treatment is hormonal therapy, and surgical treatment only comes into play when hormones are not enough, meaning pain continues or they are not an option. For example, because they are not tolerated at all, the patients are not allowed to take hormones for certain reasons. Or, as is our topic now, there is a desire to have children even after surgical therapy. We always recommend hormonal therapy unless there is a desire to have children so that the endometriosis does not return.
Well, endometriosis cannot be cured by surgery.
Endometriosis is a chronic condition. That means you cannot say that it is definitely curable. In principle, you can expect that symptoms will no longer occur during menopause, although there are exceptions. For example, if I have already reached the stage of chronic pain and my brain knows nothing other than that I am in pain. But, and this offers some hope, endometriosis does not return after surgery for all patients. That certainly also depends on the patient's age and the extent of the endometriosis.
And does surgery improve the chances of a pregnancy?
There is no blanket answer to that because endometriosis can have such a wide range of manifestations, especially with superficial endometriosis lesions. Cauterization or removal can increase the chances of pregnancy. It is assumed that the chances of becoming pregnant increase by about 1.7 times. But deeper nodules also increase the chance of getting pregnant spontaneously. In addition, the surgery gives us the opportunity to release adhesions and, for example, to restore the mobility of the fallopian tubes so that we can manage to transport the fertilized eggs back into the uterus. Even if endometriosis cysts larger than 3 centimeters are present, removing these cysts increases the chance of becoming pregnant afterwards. However, this only applies to the attempt to conceive naturally. Otherwise, one must always keep in mind that removing ovarian endometriosis also destroys ovarian tissue. We know that endometriosis cysts larger than 3 centimeters can also lower the pregnancy rate. This means that removal can be beneficial here. During the surgery itself, however, we also always damage ovarian tissue. That means, especially for women with a lower egg reserve, caution is advised so that we do not damage the remaining eggs during the operation. There is no really good data on this, but it is also assumed that with deeply infiltrating endometriosis, the chances of success for fertility treatment, that is artificial insemination, are increased after surgical therapy.
So, when exactly do you recommend fertility treatment?
Of course, on one hand, if the partner is also affected and we have an abnormal sperm count, but also if we see during the surgery that the fallopian tubes are not patent. This means that conceiving a pregnancy spontaneously is made more difficult as a result. Even if surgery is not desired, fertility treatment is an alternative. This applies especially if the patients have few symptoms or such extensive endometriosis that surgery is very risky. Then one can consider doing fertility treatment first and only operating if it is not successful. But even if I have performed surgery and no pregnancy occurs after half a year or a year, it certainly makes sense to contact a fertility center.
You are in contact with various fertility centers, aren't you?
As a center, we cooperate with a fertility clinic ourselves. This means we are in consultation regarding certain patients, but for many patients, their visit to the endometriosis center happens at the same time as their own search for a fertility clinic, so we are relatively flexible about who we consult with.
Let's move on to the topic of lifestyle. What can one do to positively influence this disease, so to speak, so that it perhaps doesn't even reach such a severe form? Is there anything for that?
You can significantly influence the development of endometriosis and the severity of the disease. Endometriosis is, as I already mentioned, a chronic inflammatory disease. This means I can, for example, try to counteract it through an anti-inflammatory diet. Patients should then follow a low-sugar diet, consume as many omega-3 fatty acids as possible, and in some cases, a gluten-free diet is also recommended. Alcohol and nicotine should also be avoided if at all possible. It is important to remember that as an endometriosis patient, you already face many daily limitations, so you certainly have to weigh the pros and cons of these dietary restrictions. Exercise also always helps with chronic pain and should not be avoided entirely. But endometriosis patients in particular should also focus on relaxation. The pain leads to severe tension, especially in the pelvic floor, which sometimes cannot be released at all. The recommendation is therefore more towards relaxation yoga rather than doing Pilates, for example, where you have a constantly tense abdomen and a lot of tension during the exercise.
How high are the chances of success for significant improvement, or even yes, for a pregnancy to occur after you have performed a treatment?
We already see a clear improvement in most patients after the surgery regarding their pain, and fortunately, we have quite a few patients who return to us after the surgery and are then pregnant. I must admit, even after very extensive surgeries where we ourselves perhaps did not have much hope, the patients still return to our delivery room a year later As a center, we always conduct a follow-up after 1 year to see what has changed for the patients and who has become pregnant. And there are already many encouraging figures. However, it must also be said that, especially when the pain is already chronic and perhaps no longer cycle dependent, or the patient has already undergone frequent surgery, purely surgical therapy sometimes no longer achieves the results one had hoped for. If that is the case, then multimodal therapy is more likely to be used. This means talking to pain therapists to see how further treatment plans can improve the patient's quality of life.
Where does the research currently stand?
Every endometriosis patient has surely heard the phrase, that is normal, at some point, and I do feel that things are getting a little better lately. Overall, in my opinion, women's health has been treated rather neglectfully over the last few decades. Cancer therapy might be an exception, but everything beyond that was certainly often dismissed as normal. Most prescriptions for the pill or hormonal IUDs as a basis for hormonal therapy still have to be paid for by the women themselves. In recent years, however, the topic has gained importance. In 2022, France became the second country in the world after Australia to announce that it wants to develop a national strategy against endometriosis. In Germany, the exact same motion failed in 2023. So there is certainly still room for improvement. In the same year, an endometriosis working group was formed in Germany within the German Society for Gynecology and Obstetrics, which is now showing more commitment and will certainly also influence policymakers. More and more specialized centers for endometriosis are emerging in Germany, and research is also constantly being conducted in Vienna. That is part of the requirement for being a center. And in October 2023, a new drug for endometriosis was approved, which acts on a different part of the hormonal axis. This means things are slowly improving, but unfortunately, I think it will still take some time until we have fully researched endometriosis and found other therapeutic approaches.
Something urgently needs to be done in the field of research, right? On the political side, I think.
Certainly, and there is a lack of support as well as the manpower or woman power needed for this because research is simply very complex and not possible everywhere. Currently, it depends a lot on the commitment of individuals and is viewed less globally and supported less.
What advice would you give to women who, for example, have a desire to have children?
I think the most important thing for women with endometriosis who want to have children is patience. That does not mean they should wait a long time to start trying, but rather that they need to know it might take longer for them to get pregnant than for other women. It is said that for healthy couples, 1 in 5 to 6 women gets pregnant per cycle. With endometriosis, it is more like 1 in 10 to 20. That does not mean it will not work. It just means it should take longer. But it is also important that anyone who is not pregnant after 1 year should visit a specialized center. And the older I am, the sooner I should get started. We offer a second opinion consultation service. This means that once patients have seen their gynecologist, they can get a referral to our clinic and we simply take another look.
Thank you very much for the conversation, Dr. Tummers.
My pleasure. Thank you too.
This has been the Specialist Physician Talk, brought to you by Primo Medico, which is the premier choice for medical specialists and expert physicians. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to listen to our program. For more comprehensive and detailed information concerning the topic of medical specialists, please visit us online at primomedico.com. Join us again next time when we return with our popular segment, which is called Medicine for Your Ears.